Hi everyone, today's Perek of Rambam is the sixth Perek of Hilchos Tefillah u'Birkas Kohanim, continuing in a similar vein of the previous Brachim of things one is supposed to avoid when they are prepared to pray. The Rambam will continue along those lines with a few miscellaneous halachos all relating to that very same theme. Halacha Aleph. Asur lo adam lavor achori beis hakneses b'sha shatzibor mispalon. It's forbidden for a person to pass behind a shul at a time when the people there are davening. El imkein hayanosi masway, unless he was carrying some sort of burden. O shalo beis hakneses shnei psachim shnei ruchos, or there's two different entrances to the shul in two different directions. Sharo omer shema yilich vikonis pesach acher. Because in these scenarios, it's quite understandable that you aren't trying to shirk going to pray with the congregation, but instead you are busy with something else, such as carrying the package, or maybe you are going to pray with them, you're just going to enter through the other entrance. Similarly, and if there's another shul that you might be going to, so you also don't have to be concerned with passing by the shul where they're davening right now, because a person who sees you might assume you're going to the other shul. And if he's wearing tefillin on his head, for then it's permitted for him to pass by the shul, even though none of these other factors are present. Why? Because the tefillin that he is wearing indicate that he's a person who chases after mitzvos. You see, he's wearing tefillin, and he's not somebody who would be looking to avoid going to pray. Halacha Beis, Hamispalim Atzibur, if somebody davens along with a minion, Lo Yarech Has Tefillah So Yosu Midai, he shouldn't extend his tefillah overly long. Avol Beinu Levein Atzma, but if he's by himself, Harshas Biyadov, he can go as long as he would like. Vimbo Lomar Achar Tefillah So Afilu Keseder Vido Yom Kippur, Omer, and if after he completes his prayer, he decides he wants to say the confession of Yom Kippur, something that long and a lengthy addition, he's allowed to say so. Vechein Imrat Lohosef Bechol Bracha Bracha Mehem Soyos Mein HaBracha Mosef. And similarly, if he chooses to add within the middle blessing, we don't alter the first or the last three, but within the middle blessings, the requests, if he wishes to add something which is within the theme of that blessing, he's completely allowed to. Halacha Gimel, Ketzad, the Rambam will illustrate what that looks like. If there's somebody who's close to him who's sick, so then he can request additional mercy from God in the blessing relating to refuah, the eighth blessing of Shemona Esrei, in accordance with how mellifluously he's able to. Hayat sarach lefarnasa, mosif ta'achina u'bakasha verchas hashanim. If he needs sustenance, he's having trouble making a livelihood, so then he can add supplications and requests in the blessing which relates to the livelihood, the ninth blessing, the one of Birchas Hashanah. V'alderach zeh b'chol achas man. The same thing is true with regard to every blessing. Him ratzel lishol kol tzracha b'shomei tefila shol. If he wishes to ask any other needs that he might have in the final bakasha, the bracha of Shomei Tefillah, so then he can request. As I alluded to beforehand, the Rambam concludes here, you should not make any requests, though, in the first or the last three blessings of Shemoneh Esrei. Halacha Dalet. Asr lo la'adam sheyitom klum, o sheyasem lacha me'achar, sheyale amud ha-shachar, ash ispal tefillas shachars. It's forbidden for a person to taste anything or do any sort of work once daybreak has occurred until he davens shachars. And similarly, a person shouldn't go visit his friend to have conversations, see how he's doing, before he davens shachar. Again, this is beyond the point of alos shachar. A person shouldn't go out onto the road, shouldn't go travel until he davens. However, you are allowed to taste food, you are allowed to do work before you pray musaf or mincha, assuming the time for them has come. However, you can't have a full meal. You can't sit down and have a whole feast when it's already close to mincha time. Once the time of mincha gdola has rolled around, which is 6.5 hours into the day, he shouldn't go to the bathhouse, even just to sweat a little, until he prays. Because it's possible that you might come to faint while you're in the bathhouse, and then you will miss out on the opportunity to daven mincha. Lo lechol, and you shouldn't also sit down to eat, afilu achila sarai, even a small amount of eating, shema yimashik b'achila, because maybe you'll be drawn into eating more and more, and you'll come to miss the tefillah. Lo ladun, and you shouldn't sit to judge a court case, afilu b'gmar din, even if you're already just dealing with the conclusion of setting the verdict of the case, shema yisasar din, because maybe you'll have to destroy everything you've built up to at that point, maybe your conclusions will be wrong, you'll have to start again, yimashik, and then you'll be involved in the case, be bottom in a tefillah, and you'll end up missing out on davening. And similarly, you shouldn't go and get a haircut, even if it's going to be a simple haircut, not something which is a complex thing which would require a skilled barber, but even a regular haircut, because maybe the particular scissors he's using will snap, will break, and he'll miss out on tefillah. In fact, in my own life, it happened to me once. I was sitting a few months ago in a barber shop in a seat and thought it was Erev Shabbos. I was going to be able to get back home in a few minutes. And the barber next to me had his razor go flying out of his hand. It, Baruch Hashem, didn't hit me. It hit the one that was being the shaver that was being used on my head and hit it and broke it. And then for the next hour or so, these two barbers were trying to get their friend to get another one. They were looking around the store. They couldn't find it. I was sitting there with my head half cut. So even something which seems a bit far out, I can testify has occurred in my own life. And similarly, once it's close to mincha time, a person shouldn't go to a place where they have tanning of different skins, because Shema Yira Hefzid Melachto, maybe he's going to see something in his business which is causing him a loss, and then he'll get involved in it, and then he'll miss out from praying. With regards to all of these, if he began, though he shouldn't have, then he doesn't need to stop once he's already begun doing any of these, and he's able to have it be completed and then go and daven mincha afterwards. Halachavav. Ve'emasai haschalas tisporas. What counts as having begun a haircut, at which point now you don't need to stop? Mishaniach me'aforas shelsaparan alberkav. Once the barber places that thing, even in the olden days they had this as well, some sort of sheet that they would place over your knees to make sure that the hair doesn't get all over you. What counts as having entered into a bathhouse? When he takes off the undershirt, the clothing which is most directly touching his body. What counts as having gotten involved in the place where you tan things? Once he already puts on a special type of apron, he wraps it around himself, just as those experts, those craftsmen, do when they're dealing with the borsiki. What counts as having begun eating? In Eretz Yisrael, they would decide that it counts as having begun eating based on when he would wash his hands. In Babel, once they would loosen their belts. What counts as having begun a court case? Once the judges go and enwrap themselves in the talisim that they would wear, and then they sit down in judgment. If they were sitting still anyhow, let's say they had been judging a previous court case, now they're ready to begin another one. So if they've been sitting, so you can't say the sitting has counted as having begun a new court case. So it's then once the various parties in the court case begin to make their claims, so at that point that counts as starting the new case. Halacha Zayin. Aval pisha tefilas arvis rishos, even though, as we've mentioned in previous parakim, the nighttime prayer of arvis is considered something which isn't obligatory. Lo yava adam imlach tov yomar ocham ad v'ishon kima v'achar chesval. A person shouldn't come back from work and say, I'll eat a little, I'll sleep a little, and then I'll daven. Shema tenos oso she'ina v'nimza yashin kol alayla. Maybe sleep will overtake you, especially after a hard day's work, especially after you eat a little. So then the sleep will overtake you, and it will turn out that you've slept the whole night long. Elamis pal arvis, rather, what should he do? He should first pray this evening prayer of Marv, and then afterwards he can eat and drink or go to sleep. However, it is permitted for somebody to go to get a haircut or to enter into a bathhouse close to the morning prayer of Shachars, because they only made this decree with regards to when the time for Mincha was approaching, not when the time for Shachars is approaching. Why? Since to go to the barber, to go to the bathhouse, something which people would normally do during the day, therefore is relevant to Mincha. So therefore, they made the decree with regard to the most common, normal, natural cases. But Aval B'Shachar, Davar She'ino Matzoi, Lo Gazer Bo. Since it's something uncommon, we generally have a rule that Chazal, the Rabbanon, wouldn't make decrees in cases which are not as common. So therefore, here as well, with regards to Shachar, they didn't make such a decree. Halacha Ches. Mishai Osek B'Talmud Torah, Be'giyaz Manat Tefillah. Posek was Pala. Somebody was involved in learning Torah, and then the time for tefillah has rolled around, so he should stop his learning and he should pray. If the person, though, is somebody who's totally involved in their learning, that is what his trade is, that's what he's involved in all the time, and he doesn't really do any other work, so then, if he's involved in his Torah learning at the time, so when tefillah comes around, he shouldn't stop for tefillah. Shemitzvah's Talmud Torah, G'dol Mitzvah's Tefillah. The Rambam tells us very interesting, important value judgment. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is greater than the mitzvah of tefillah. V'chol ha'osik b'tzarchei rabim, ka'osik b'dvar Torah. And anybody who's involved in the communal needs, so then, that's as if he's involved in Torah, and on one level, You see that these are two very profound mitzvahs, but practically speaking, it means that you don't have to stop for tefillah. Halacha tes. Ein ha-mispal mafsik tefillaso el b'nei sakanas nefashos b'vav. Somebody who's in the middle of davening should not stop his tefillah unless it's a matter of life and death. Afilu melech Yisrael shol b'shlomo lo yishivenu. And even if a king of the b'nei Yisrael asks him how he's doing, he greets him, you should not respond to him. Avo posik u lemelech ho-vekuchavim shem yaragenu. However, if it's a non-Jewish king, you have to be concerned that he might actually kill you, and therefore you'd have to respond. Hay omei b'tefillah, if somebody was standing in prayer, v'ra melech ho-vekuchavim o anas ba-kenegdo, yikatzer v'veinu yachol yasek. If he's in the midst of his tefillah, and he sees that a non-Jewish king is approaching, or somebody who might otherwise kill him, so then, if he has the opportunity, he should try to shorten his tefillah to make sure he can finish it, and then be able to greet these people. If he sees he won't be able to do so, so then, as we just said, he's able to stop. And similarly, if he sees other things which might kill him, such as snakes or scorpions, heading in his direction, if they actually reached him, meaning they're right there right now, and in this place, these type of animals are known to be killers, so then you should stop immediately and run away. However, if it's not the type of thing that they're normally known to be fatal, so then you don't stop, even though they might hurt you. Halacha Yud. Nashim v'avadim k'tanim chayvim tefillah. Women, slaves, and children are all obligated in tefillah. As we saw in the beginning, the Rambam explained women are obligated in tefillah because it doesn't have a set time, really, on a daraisa level. It's only the Rabbanan who created the set times we're familiar with. V'chol ish patur mikriyas shema patur min tefillah. And any individual man who's exempt from reciting Kriyas Shema is also exempt from praying. And anybody who accompanies the dead body out to be buried, even though they're not needed to help carry it, this is in contradistinction to Kriyas Shema, where you had to be needed for the dead body, so then they are exempt from the Mita. The rules are a bit more relaxed with regards to Tefillah and these people who are accompanying the coffin. That concludes another fantastic paragraph of Rambam. Looking forward to tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.